listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
My name is Rob. I got a real funky concept. Listen up, cause I'm gonna keep you in step. I got an idea that I wanna share. You don't like it, so what? I don't care. I'm number one, the uno. I like comp. I bring all the suckers cause all they wanna stop. Bold and black, but I don't, what I won't protect, all followers. Cause all I want is respect. I'm not a doctor, but then I'm rapture. Sleek brother, that can easy out fox ya. Cause I'm Rob, the last name base, yeah. And I'm on the mic, I'm known to be the freshest. Since I let the start, I shouldn't be too hard. I'm not a sucker, so I don't need a bodyguard. I won't fess, wear a bulletproof vest. Don't smoke Buddha, can't stand cess, cause. Hey, it takes two to make the thing go right, and it's two people here. Welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right, we're in the house on a Sunday, a snowy Sunday, guys. For all the people that snowed in, you can come hang out with us in the warm AC, in the heat. You know how it is, guys. We appreciate y'all for coming through. Of course, you can find this show on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the show as long as they are nice and funny and all the things that we deserve to be loved and appreciated the way that Steve Harvey taught us. You can also, do stuff like, you know, go to theblackouttips.com, vote in the polls, become a cool person, because cool people do stuff like that. You know, they go and vote in the polls and celebrate us, and leave comments, and they can sign up for premium, theblackouttips.com/premium. A lot of people have been signing up lately. I don't know if it's because all this work we've been putting in with the recaps and the reviews and the movies and stuff, but you know, hard work pays off, and we appreciate y'all,
single one of you.
Yeah, chiming in.
Folks must got them tax returns. I know it's early, but some people get them quicker than others.
Maybe, I don't know. Whatever it is, we appreciate the love. The official weapon of the show is
a taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse and curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/tbgwt and get your first month free. That's getbevel.com/tbgwt, and first month is free. All right, let's get into some podcasting. A lot of stuff is happening all over the place. I don't even know where to start. Oh, actually, I do know where to start. It's been a while, but let's do it.
Something that I wanna know. If to this question you have the answer, so tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right, all right. Now let's talk about this depressing news for gay people. Sorry, guys. All right. Apparently, we got some intersectional, like, news between black people, the black church, LGBTQ people, and it's like a whole thing to unpack. All right, guys, Kim Burrell, who you guys may know as a gospel singer, got into some hot water, guys. She was given a sermon? I mean, I guess I'll let y'all judge for yourselves. I think I can play it, but I guess you can call it a sermon is what she was given. I mean, she was speaking. It was like at a church function. You know, I've seen it referred to as a rant. I don't know if that's necessarily what we would call it when you're at a church talking. But this is the clip. And she's talking about gay people. Why do they always get so have to get so graphic? Like, take a man's penis to the face and you suck it down, you suck it all the way down to the till you drain it of the semen. I'm so sick of it. It's really disgusting. I watched it 12 times on X-Hamster on the way up here, and it's just disgusting every time. You just juggle the balls. Why are you juggling the balls? God don't want that. You're sucking on them titties. The titties of the devil is what I say. Satan's nipples is what we call them.
Oh Lord, no they're not.
You're just all licking on the areolas. You know what I'm talking about? You take them out your mouth and you kind of blow on them like. You know, you titillate them titties, them gay titties, them horrible, evil, homosexual titties. Also, of note, just peep the audience's reactions. This is an audience full of people going, this is disgusting. This doesn't represent my views. I'm getting up and leaving. This is horrible. You know, this isn't what God is about. Keep in mind, the reaction is not one of, you can hear it. It's not a bunch of people sitting around mortified, okay? I guess you're trying to say Bishop Ed Long is because he was being gay that he's dying and it's embarrassing for the church. It sounds like that's what she's implying. I don't know, maybe I missed something, but that's how it sounds to me.
But he said it's that new diet he on though.
He said he was on them new shakes. Mm-hmm. He was on protein shakes or something. I don't know. So I guess she's saying he has gotten AIDS, and that's what is really happening to him. Okay. And you have yet to deny it. Come on. Mm. All right. So, obviously, that's her point of view. echoed amongst many people that were in the church too. I mean, you can hear it in the amens, come on, tell the truth, yes Lord, all that shit. She took to Facebook to issue something that resembles an apology, but then she took it down. She advertised for a night of praise, worship, and declaration for 2017 this Thursday, December 29th at 8 p.m. The event took place at a church that Burrell runs in her hometown of Houston. According to the official website, The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Burrell is scheduled to appear January 5th. She'll be accompanied by Pharrell Williams because she's on the soundtrack for Hidden Figures. So it was going to be like, okay, Pharrell, and I think Pharrell's like either a producer on it, but yeah, he's also did the soundtrack.
Right. He's over most of the music, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like he's involved with that film heavily. Mm-hmm. So that was going to be an issue. In 2010, Burrell founded the Love and Liberty Fellowship Pentecostal Overcoming Holy Church.
Yes, what five names. That's how you know you got a black church over by the lake yonder. Pentecostal around the corner.
What you gonna do about this right here? What you gonna do about the Bible, homeboy? Are you gonna call this a bigot? Are you gonna call this dangerous? Well, if you do call this and me dangerous, yes sir, we are dangerous.
So yeah, that sounds like the kind of preaching they have going on there. It says Love and Liberty Fellowship Church is called to proclaim the gospel of Christ and the beliefs in the evangelical Christian faith, to maintain the worship of God, and to inspire in all persons a love for Christ, a passion for righteousness, and a consciousness of the duties to God and their fellow human beings. We pledge our lives to Christ and covenant with each other to demonstrate his spirit through worship, witnessing, and ministry to the needs of the people of his church and the community. And she's listed as the church's pastor, which according to the Bible and a lot of the texts that people go by, I mean, that really should be a thing that women can't do. If we going strictly by, the Testament, apparently, shouldn't she not be able to get up on the stage and say all that shit? You know, can't be showing up in pants, you know, fucking everything up. You know how y'all are. People always take that one quote, women be talking in church, and then run off with it and say women should be silent. Anyway, all this to say, she ended up not getting to go on the Ellen show, which very reasonable. I mean, the pressure came onto the Ellen show event, initially, and quite obviously the connection is Ellen is a lesbian woman. Why would you give this person a platform, especially after she just was caught on video saying this hateful shit? So then Ellen and Pharrell ended up doing a segment talking about it, basically saying there's no room and no space for this, and no type of prejudice, and we shouldn't be, shouldn't be given space for this. Because they kind of had to put in a position where you have to explain.
What a great year this is going
to
be.
Well, you have to explain, like, one, why you had her on the show in the first place, and then why you dropped her, because, people are going to tune in.
And it became a big deal.
Exactly. I mean, it's horrible. Here's the clip.
We know. We have to talk about this before we go. You were supposed to do a different song.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to perform it with a singer that I didn't know her. Her name is Kim Burrell.
Yeah.
And she made a statement. She was doing a Facebook Live, and she said some very not nice things about homosexuals.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like that was good of me to have her on the show to give her a platform after she's saying things about me. So I'm going to let you talk about it for a minute.
Well, there's no space, there's no room for any kind of prejudice in 2017 or moving on. Like, there's no...
Yeah.
There's no room. She's a fantastic singer.
It went up
singer.
And came down.
She's...
What?
It went up and came down.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to play the audio anyway. It's not that important. Okay. I'll keep going.
I love her, just like I love everybody else. And we all got to get used to that. We got to get used to We got to get we all have to get used to everyone's differences and understand that this is a big, gigantic, beautiful, colorful world, and it only works with inclusion and empathy. It only works that way.
Yep. Agreed.
Live and let live, love and let love.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed, agreed. And I think, you know, I say it all the time. I mean, to me, when I say be kind to one another, I feel that because as someone who has received a lot of hate and prejudice and discrimination because of who I choose to love, I just don't understand anyone who has experienced that kind of oppression or anything like that, how it only gives me more compassion. It gives me more empathy. I want everyone. I don't ever want anyone to feel hurt or because they're different.
Whenever you see something, whenever you hear some sort of hate speech and you feel like it doesn't necessarily pertain to you because, you know, you may not have anything to do with that, all you got to do is put the word black in that sentence, or put gay in that sentence, or put transgender in that sentence, or put white in that sentence. And all of a sudden it starts to make sense to you. You know, I'm telling you, the world is a beautiful place, but it does not work without empathy and inclusion. And God is love. This universe is love. And that's the only way it will function. You see, and I get it. I get that sometimes, like, some of the divisive stuff works in life. We've all learned that lesson, right? We learned that lesson last year, that sometimes divisiveness works. But you have to choose what side you're on. And I'm choosing empathy, I'm choosing inclusion, and I'm choosing love for everybody and just trying to lift everyone. Even when I disagree with someone, I'm wishing them the best. I'm hoping for the best because we can't win the other way.
I am with you. I am with you.
All right. So, you know, I think that was a very kind way to look at it and to view it. You know, I don't think, and I think a lot of people are having issues talking about it. You know, because one, there's a lot of people who grew up Christian. There's a lot of people who are black who feel like, well, why are we always getting stuck with the, you know, this is the black church and the black people are doing this and black people are the worst. There's a lot of people who actually believe exactly what she believes, but they're just nice about it. They, you know, they wouldn't say it to your face.
Talk about it.
Yeah, they wouldn't talk to you about it. They wouldn't say it to your face. Mm-hmm. They'll definitely sit in that church and clap and not say nothing, you know. Or they'll sit in that church and, you know, even if they disagree, they'll still go to that church next week. Or they'll, you know what I mean? Like, they think all the things that happen are in there are worth dealing with this one area where they feel like I disagree. Then there's also the people that disagree but don't say shit, who I think there's a lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that they go out into the world, they have, you know, they associate with gay people, they are on social media advocating for gay people, they and their rights, they're people that are you know, understanding of you know, things like abortion and all this stuff. Like, they don't hold the same beliefs as their church, but they won't leave their church because church is community to them and it's tradition to them, and it's a lot of shit that, and at the same time, they won't be transformative agents in their church. They'll show up and let that shit happen, and then they'll just be like, pastor was tripping today, and hope that they don't talk about it next week or whatever, you know. The world is changing outside of the church doors, and the church, to a certain extent, even the black church, is a very conservative agent at times. Like, not every church can be like Reverend Barber's church in North Carolina, where that dude's a very progressive man who puts out work in the community and politically to change, be a positive change agent. But at the same time, you know, I'm not even saying, I'm not, and I don't know enough about him to vouch or say he's perfect, but I'm just saying, you see that man fighting, like, literally, let's go get arrested because we want to get HB2 off the books in North Carolina. And that's as a pastor, you know, regardless of how you feel about him. I know he's in like the NAACP and shit, and some people have issue with that, but regardless of how you feel about him, that's a man putting his mouth where his work where his mouth is. Like, yes, I'll go take the charge to, because I feel like this is wrong in our society, and that's the work that I believe my religion challenges me to do. So you do have that, but that's very rare. That's few and far between. I've always thought, like, if it wasn't for that one thing, that racism, there's a lot of black people that be voting Republican. You know, and I mean, yep, straight up racism towards us. Like, if it was like, yep, we only hate Mexicans, Muslims, and such, people would be like, you know, I can make that work. I can make that work.
Yep.
Cause the conservatism does kind of, have root in our community. I mean, many of us that are here, came through the channels of white people, basically trying to, you know, molding us. You know, and it's up to us to break our mold. But yeah, it's a lot of people, you worship the religion you worship because you were born in a certain place where that's religion that was practiced, and when you were a kid and didn't have a choice, that's the place you were taken every Sunday, and that's the community you grew into. Those are the friends and relationships you have. You, like, you'd be a fool to think that that's, I mean, if you were born in India, you would be something different probably. Yeah. You know, if you were born in the Middle East, you'd be something different. Like, it's not, you know, regardless how people may feel about it, the way I feel about it is, it's not divine providence that you happen to be whatever you are. It's really just coincidence. You know, it's no coincidence most people are the religion that they grew up with.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
They don't know anything different.
Yeah. You know, by the time you can learn different things and challenges, like, you're not just challenging your religion, you're challenging your culture. By the time you get, if you get to 13 and go, I want to be a Buddhist, it's like, well, your parents feel insulted, your church feels insulted, your friends feel insulted, everybody wants to know what's wrong with you. And I'm sure it's that way other places. If you're born into a Buddhist family and suddenly you go, I think I want to be a Christian, I'm sure that, you know, that kind of shit. So that's part of it. I really, was hoping that this shit would kind of just have an obvious reaction and people would move on. Like, people would be like, obviously she's wrong, obviously that's hate speech, she does not need to be defended, she needs to be the fuck out of here and let's leave, right? Because I mean, that's what we would do if it was like, if she was on stage talking about, I don't know, black people are coons and all this shit. A lot of the people that I saw kind of defending her and coming up with these like halfway defenses of her and kind of trying to sidetrack what was happening, I think they would have said nothing. Like, if, like, for example, if she would have been defending Nate Parker and, you know, the rape apologist type shit, a lot of people that were like, well, you shouldn't be calling her, saying she looks like a ham sandwich or something, you know, whatever people were saying, you guys shouldn't be saying that about her. Like, those people wouldn't have said nothing, you know. Or the, well, can we really say she's discriminating against the LGBT people if she's a black woman and she gets discriminated against? It's like, what, when did we start doing that? You know, because we definitely know when a black man says some fucked up shit about black women or LGBT people, we can't pull, like, the only people that pull that card are the hotel people, right? That pull the, well, black men are so discriminated against. It's like, yeah, well, that doesn't give you a pass at beating your woman. I'm sorry. You know? So I thought it was just obvious, right? I just didn't think, I think in 2017, so much of the shit should just be obvious at this point, that it's not really a debate, but it became a debate. I saw it online. I saw people defending her. I saw people defending it as a difference of opinion, you know. Well, she just sees the sin, you know, the same way, you know, you're supposed to hate the sin, love the sinner. But here's the thing, sexual orientation is different than that, because being an adulterer is a choice. No one says I was born being an adulterer. Stealing is a choice. You make a choice at some point to steal, you know, even though there are some compulsive thieves and things like, but just in general, when there's an act, there's an act. People want to turn a sexual orientation into a lifestyle, into a series of choices. And the complex that this shit gives people that are LGBTQ in the church is fucked up. The complex that it gives, you know, black and brown people that grew up in this, like, they'll tell you themselves it's fucked up. Like, I had to live with thinking I was just wrong and shit, and I was a bad person. And because it's not like an act, it's that life. It's your life. It's not just a, it's not a choice. It's your, it's that person's life. It's their orientation. The way that I didn't make a choice to be straight, I'm sure that when people, it wasn't like, oh, I turned 12 and I was like, I think I'm gonna just be on gay shit. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that's how it works. Cause I didn't have a moment where I went, yeah, you know, I can choose that. I either get sexually aroused by men or women. I think I'm gonna go with women. I mean, it's a tough decision. It came down to the last second. That's, I really don't think that's how it works.
Well, shouts up.
Yeah, I flipped a coin, you know, so it's sad to see, you know, people pulling the difference of opinion shit, people pulling the, well, I just, you know, I just think you should be tolerant, which is another code word for you think it's wrong. You think this person's life is wrong. You think it's a sin. You think they're going to hell. She's talking about they're going to die. The fact that people would defend it is so sad to me, man. It's sickening to me that, you know, that people feel that way. And that people would defend her from whatever the fuck people said about her, to be honest. I mean, I like, people were trying to tell LGBTQ people to calm down. Like, I saw it. Like, nah, you shouldn't say that she looks like a KFC snack box. Don't say that about her. Don't say, you just gonna talk about her body, massage noir and shit. And it's like, yo, what the fuck? Cause we don't do that other times, right? If Amy Schumer does the Formation, like, remix, everybody goes in and nobody goes, listen, I understand you're mad, ladies, but can we just not call her a bitch? I mean, cause come on, that seems a bit too far. Nobody does that.
No.
You know what I mean? That tone policing bullshit. So it was odd to see people that otherwise claim to be, you know, either allies or whatever, switch over from like inclusivity to tolerance, to like, we tolerate y'all shit, so I mean, really, you should be thanking us, you know? Like, that's how it felt anyway, watching that shit unfold. It was so fucked up, man. So, you know, and at that point you just kind of feel like, well, maybe it's over now. Nope. It's not. It's never over. It's never over. Frank Ocean's mom wanted Kim Burrell off her son's album, which, you know, reasonable. But I mean, probably too late.
She's on the Frank Ocean album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's on the song "Godspeed" off of Blonde.
Oh, that same Frank Ocean that came out about his sexuality not
too right, long right, ago? Right,
right, okay, right. Okay, okay.
Right. She'll take that money.
I guess them checks.
She'll work with him.
Them but she think, but enough to go through the bank, ain't it?
But she think he gonna die, right? She think he gonna die. So that was, you know, that's a part of it. Shirley Caesar came out, says Kim Burrell should have spoken out against homosexuality 4 years ago before President made that stuff all right. You should have said something 4 years ago when our president made that stuff all right. That stuff being, of course, legalized same-sex marriage.
Not that stuff.
Yeah, marriage equality, of course. So yeah, you know, it's, she went from adorable, you name it, run Shirley her coins, mm-hmm. to, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. You probably are super religious and that probably means you're a bigot. Sometimes I forget, man, you know, cause churches, a cultural thing for black people as well as right. a religious thing, you know, the difference, and the thing is, you know, like, the difference with church and black people is this: church hasn't always been so conservative. It's been a radically progressive, transformative vehicle in times, you know, like civil rights era, when that was the only place we could organize. It's the reason that white supremacists and the KKK used to attack our neighborhoods, and that was the first thing they blow up, you know, the first thing they burn down, was because that was the that was the place where black people were allowed to congregate and have these discussions and share this history with each other that was erased and eradicated any other place, you know. That's a place where we could organize. It was the one spot, you know? So I'm not saying this to demean the institution of the black church and its place in history. I'm not trying to take it to that point. And I have respect for that. So it's not just a matter of like, fuck the black church. You know what I mean? Just in as a general thing. But fuck the black church at the same time. Like, you can't be on this shit in 2017. You simply can't. And I don't care if it's in the Bible or not. It doesn't even matter. You know, I am an atheist, so, you know, I try not to go on these like jags of like talking shit and picking on people's religions, but you can't be like this and then expect everybody else to adjust. It's fucked up. Like, the same way that like Pope Francis does his like paint a coat over bigotry for Catholicism, you know, while they still kind of really maintain a lot of the bigoted ways and opinions that they have, but they put it out there and say, new pope, y'all look this way, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, new pope same shit.
yeah right. Yeah, new pope same shit, exactly.
You ain't changing, but he'll say something, then, right. Then they'll put out a statement contradicting the shit that he just said, so you're not changing anything, right.
He gives them some lovely speech and then he meets with that Kim Davis lady, or he gives some great speech and then they fire somebody for being openly gay and being a bishop. Like, you're not fooling nobody with that bullshit. Like, religion as a practice has had some very fucking regressive and just downright oppressive movements. Like, you know, whether it be like the Spanish Inquisition, or it, you know, burning motherfuckers at the stake, burning opinionated women at the stake, whether it be, you know, the way that the KKK is attached to Christianity.
Yes, it is.
You know, religion oftentimes allows people to group up under a cause and oppress other people. I'm not saying this all religion does. There's so many good things that can come from religious organizations and people when they are, you know, trying to help, like,
right.
You know, there's people that wouldn't have got fed if it wasn't for churches. There's people that wouldn't have got clothed if it wasn't for churches. You know, I'm not trying I'm trying to say that even allowing for all that, those good quote unquote people have to take over their church. You know, at this point, like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, people have to, you know, look at their organization and be like, why is this allowed to be the loudest voice? Why is this person allowed to be the one on stage? All this yes ma'am, you tell it, that shit, like, those are bigots. You know, if you were, if that was the same church and it was a white, you know, a white person talking about niggers or something, we'd all be like, that's a church full of bigots. You know, like bigotry isn't just race. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just voting for Trump because you're scared of black people. Like, that's not all there is to bigotry in America. And while you can make arguments about participating in racism shit, you can be black and be a bigot. There's not a patent on that for white folks. You know, like, you can be black and be a bigot. And if you don't care about all of us, then you don't care about any of us. You know, you can't be like, I'm for this Black Lives Matter shit, except for these gay folks. Then you not. You know what I mean? It's pretty fucking, it's black and white, for lack of a better term. It's black and white. So anyway, Shirley Caesar, gave this speech. Let me see if I can play it. And once again, in a church, right? This isn't on her Facebook page. This isn't, she got caught in a private conversation over dinner and somebody snuck a phone in or something. This is in church, right? Now, I think we can all recognize that church is a place where you have a message and you want people to hear it when you're on that stage. That's kind of what a sermon is, right? You know, that's what the quote unquote gospel is. You are preaching the gospel. That means you're telling people what you think they should hear about about your religion and your God. So to me, you can't pull the, I can't believe y'all let people know what I was saying about, you know, your religion. Let me see. I don't know why this doesn't want to play. Oh, media cannot be played. Awesome. All right, cool. Oh, and then somebody else posted a different video. Let's see if we can get this one to play in. But yeah, there's a longer video segment that gives Charlotte's comments a bit more context, but it doesn't really help her case. She basically suggests that from now on, if a pastor wants to speak and keep things in house, they better start collecting phones at the door. So yeah, she basically says, take people's cell phones. That'll fix it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Karen's shaking her head for y'all that hear this audio later.
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
She just decided to leave me out here myself. But the point being, you can't really, you can't say I'm giving a fucking speech. I'm going to give a sermon. Also, nobody spread the word on this. I would like to keep this in-house. You can't keep the bigotry in-house at your fucking church. While trying to get people, what you trying to trick gay people into coming in? And then you're gonna be like, aha, gotcha, motherfuckers. I've been a bigot the whole time. Oh,
Lord. Ain't these the same thing the Republicans is trying to do by banning them?
And cops?
Right.
The GOP trying to do it on the floor of Congress.
Mm-hmm. And talking about we'll find you and shit.
Yeah, and then the cops trying to do it when they killing black people.
And passing laws and shit.
Like, you want to do your dirt in the dark. That's what it is. If we keep it at 100, you just want to, you know this is wrong. You know it's dirty. And you know the world views it as such. And you just want to slide it through. Just like, oh, nah. It's different when I do it. No, the fuck it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter that you're a gospel singer, Shirley Caesar, or you're older or whatever. Because people are trying to give, well, these are older ladies and shouldn't we? No, because you know why? I mean, you can do what the fuck you want. I don't give nobody a pass because they old. Because their old ass done adjusted through life all this motherfucking time so you could be old.
Right. How did you get old without change?
Right. Like, you ain't driving a Model T no more.
I hope not.
You figured that out. Your TV got cable. You figured that out. But you can't figure out that people that are LGBTQ are human and deserve fucking respect. Like, get out of here. You don't watch motherfuckers get civil rights, but somehow you gotta stop when it comes to LGBTQ people. You know? And also, like, y'all are giving her a pass for her age, but what about everybody else in there cheering her on? Right? What about the kids that these people inform and teach? What about the fact that it's still going on today and she's allowed to be on stage saying that shit says so much about the church. It says so much about it because that is the voice you decided to let represent your institution. That is the voice that you're telling people in the audience indirectly to emulate. You are telling these people this person is correct. You can't avoid that truth. So yeah, it was bad, man. It was bad. It's all bad. Everybody defending it, you're fucking wrong. You're a bigot. You're giving cover to bigots. Don't pretend to be like somebody's ally or somebody's I understand it is bad, but it's Shirley. She's just so adorable. I mean, we can't, you name it, right? We can't just do that. Like, how you talking out of both sides of your mouth, man? You know, so it's bad, man. You know, I don't really know what else to say. It's all bad, and nobody should accept this shit. And like I said, as an atheist, I try not to just pick on y'all's religion because I know, one, super, people get super fucking uptight about that shit. And there are a lot of, like, angry atheists where it's like, I'm angry at the church and you motherfuckers, like Lieutenant Dan yelling at the sky. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah,
I can recognize that the institution has caused a lot of positive things in the community. And at the same time being like, but it can be harmful, and many, many times it is used for harm. It's just, it hasn't targeted me normally, you know? And for people that go, well, it's just like any other sin, you're not treating it like any other sin. It's not proportional, like, to what's in the Bible, to how much people talk about this and how much people seem to hate and gather around this hate of gay people. Mm-mm. It's not the same. You know, I've never been in a church where I was like, I hope they don't go out on thieves again this week. Boy, pastor hates stealing. Man, I mean, sometimes it's like he ain't even on the Bible. He just hates stealing so much. He just go off. I've never been in that church, and y'all ain't either. You know, not all the sins are treated like this. You know, just like every third Sunday, we gotta talk about the gay community because of some shit happening in real life. Like, oh, gay people got rights, y'all. Oh God. You know, it's so funny because Trump got elected and hate crimes against gay people went up. Hate crimes against black people went up. Mm-hmm. Hate crimes against Muslims went up. Hate crimes against immigrants went up. And you got motherfuckers still trying to argue amongst each other about why we shouldn't fuck with one group or the other. They beating all our ass. Fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, listen, I'm for this black people getting their rights, but y'all gay people need to slow down, okay? Ain't nothing happening to you. Why you complaining? You know, so dumb. The other thing I wanted to note too, shout out to Ellen for doing something that I wish Trevor Noah had done, which is not giving a platform to hate. You know what I mean? Like, I wish The Daily Show had done taking that same approach. Like, Ellen don't play that shit. Now, that's the difference between having your name on the show and controlling it.
Right.
And just having your name on the show. Correct. But point being, Trevor Noah seemed to be all on board with having Tommy on. Like, from the way he talked about it, it sounded like he was like, yeah, we should have her on. We should have discussed it. Now, he's not from here. And I, like I said, they have an outside perspective, I think, on purpose. That's why he got the job. But the general point being, you're not obligated to provide a space for bigotry for someone who doesn't respect your humanity so you can talk it out for everyone else to view. We're not under any obligation to do that. They have enough platforms. You know, people tune into your shit to hear your voice, not theirs. You know, if they want to go listen to her shit, they got a ton of shit they can go hear Tammy on. Shout out to Wale. So yeah, man, it was disgusting, man. And like I said, I saw people defending it. I had to kick people out of our Facebook group. Oh, here's Charlie Sievers. And you hear, once again, people clapping and applauding. Like, it's not, we can't act like these people are going quote unquote rogue. If anything, her objection to phones sounds more in line with how a lot of people must be acting. It's gotta be a lot of people that go in these churches and then walk out and be like, nah, I'm cool with that stuff. I don't really, you know, agree with when they be saying that, but you don't say shit. You still tired. You still attend.
Yeah, you do.
You don't write letters. You know, you don't take a stand. You know, shame on everybody that was on some like, I hope white folks go home this Thanksgiving and tell they Trump voting uncles to do. And then what do? When you go home for Thanksgiving? Shit. Right? Like, it's just like, I mean, that's why I didn't even get excited about that. Cause I was like, for what? You know what I mean? When I go home and see like a uncle or aunt who says some homophobic shit, I'm just be like, that motherfucker is hopeless. And that's why we don't kick it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect you to fucking debate human rights at your Thanksgiving table because I know it's fruitless. Ain't shit gonna happen.
Nope.
The only thing you really can do in your life is not kick it with those people. That's it. You know what I mean? That's it. You don't have a, like, Shirley Caesar and this lady, they're not gonna change their point of view. It just shouldn't be allowed on stage. You know, that's what it is. And I know people feel a certain way about the fact that these are the black elders in the community. I don't give a fuck. You know, there's older black people that don't preach hate. So what about them? How did they figure it out? But these two didn't. We supposed to give them some type of protected status where we don't say that this is wrong. I don't understand. What are the rules? You know, so yeah, it's fucked up, man. You know, I'm glad to not believe in any of this shit, to be honest. I'm glad. Cause I don't have to feel some type of like beholdenness, quote unquote, to this shit. I don't have to feel like, you know, I saw people trying to justify it in their own nuanced ways and more power to you and everything, but I'm glad I don't have to go through the mental gymnastics of believing anything in that book to try to like counteract this stupid shit. You know, like, well, it's only in a couple paragraphs, shouldn't be in none. We keeping it real. You know what I mean? She took it out of context. Right. People take that shit out of context all the time. And if I was talking to her, she'd tell me you taking it out of context. I'm glad I can just wash my hands of it and be like, fuck that shit. It's wrong to feel this way. It's wrong to talk about people like this and just leave it at that. And let y'all can sort it out if y'all gonna stay. Y'all need to figure a way to keep this kind of person out of the discussion, to be honest. Like, she don't need, there should be no room for this. Anyway, yeah, so anyway, sorry, you know, to go in on people's shit, man, but that's bad, you know. BMI dropped Kim Burrell from Gospel Honors over her anti-gay rant. Mm. So I don't know, maybe this is a sign that things are changing. I don't know, you know, but my problem is, and my fear is that this is about it becoming a scandal and they're getting away from her because she's radioactive,
right?
But there's a lot of people that believe this shit, and they really, it's really more like, you know, you right about the gay people, Kim, but we can't really deal with you right now, so we gotta drop you, you know,
for right now,
because you did say, you know, deaf people gonna die from being gay, and you know, that's just too far. What you're supposed to say is they need to stop making that choice of that demon. You're like, wait, you believe this too then, kinda, right? It's like, yeah, but I didn't get caught on tape, so I whoopity-doo-dah, you gotta go, you know. BMI Trailblazers of Gospel Music is an annual celebration of gospel music and its many talented songwriters. Given the controversy surrounding this year's co-honoree Kim Burrell, we have asked her not to take part in the ceremony in order to allow the focus to remain on the songwriters and their music. So yeah, that's not really an admonishment of really what she said, right? It's really more of a things are getting kind of hot around you and we just can't have you here.
Yeah, we don't want to deal with the protest.
BMI was founded over 76 years ago with an open door policy to welcome songwriters across all genres, and that same spirit of tolerance, diversity, and inclusiveness continues today. Mm-hmm. You know what I wonder with this shit? I bet you if she would have said, you know, Donald Trump's a terrible man, and there would have been like a controversy around her, she would have still been allowed to perform.
Of course.
Yeah, like, nah, this, I don't know, you're not fooling nobody with this shit is what I'm saying. This whole like, no, this is disgusting to our bottom line, you know what I mean? Like, you're not just fooling nobody with that shit, man. All right, maybe let's see what other news we got. Damn, trying to find some good news. Jesus Christ. Oh, the first ever intersex U.S. birth certificate was just entered, just issued. The state of New York has just made a major step in the right direction for intersex people by issuing the first ever non-binary birth certificate to 55-year-old Sarah Kelly Keenan on Wednesday. Born intersex with male genes, female genitalia, and mixed reproductive organs, it took 55 years for Keenan's birth certificate to finally reflect her gender. According to Elle, Keenan, who prefers female pronouns, was first labeled as a male on her initial birth certificate, but was issued a female birth certificate 3 weeks after being born. Her new birth certificate simply reads intersex and is the first known birth certificate in the United States that allows for a third gender to be used. Cool. It sounds like you'll have to, if this is something you choose to do, you would have to like do it retroactively, it seems, because however long ago they weren't doing this, apparently, if this is the first ever,
right?
But I mean, that's positive, man. It's kind of like when Facebook started allowing people to like identify their gender as different things other than male and female.
Yeah.
And so many people got upset by it, like they felt threatened, and it's like, for what, nigga? Just pick male or female if that's what you wanted, but other people have choices now. How is that a bad thing? You know what I mean? Shit, maybe you'll find a category for you. Maybe you'll be like, oh, I thought I was this and now I'm this. Like, I don't know. But yeah, like, how is defining yourself so fucking offensive? People get so mad at new terminology and new words. Pansexual? Y'all niggas be having sex with pots and pans? I don't get it.
Y'all niggas been in there clacking shit and using flowers. What right. The fuck is happening?
You be having sex with Peter Pan? I don't get it. I'm out.
What kind of meals you be making doing sex?
Right. Sapiosexual. Nigga, what's a sapio? Like a Scorpio? You be having sex with Scorpio? Like, man, just...
You be in there getting stung and shit?
Right. Just check it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm offended. This attack on my gender.
Why?
Something.
Not because I know definition, but because I'm supposed to be offended.
I know I'm supposed to be mad. I can tell. Right.
I can tell. It don't even make sense, but I'm just mad.
So frustrated. These choices. So yeah, that's
options. Y'all giving people options? No.
Yeah. Watch people be mad that they have a third box on the damn gender thing for
your
babies. That's
why people get mad because when they do like Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
People talk, speak American. Motherfucker, do you know American is not a goddamn language? I don't know if nobody informed you of that.
Press 5 for Spanish. You know the best is when it's like, press 1 for Spanish. Press 2 for English. I know them motherfuckers be mad as fuck. They get the number 1? No! No! English should be number 1, motherfucker! I'm like, it's telling you in English.
Or even worse, when they do Spanish, they be like,
oh yeah.
Letter uno, letter español.
Right, yeah.
You matter because yeah. They can understand all they know is the Spanish.
Yeah, I don't know all the words, but that shit do be like, and especially when they switch the voice, because that mean they hired a Spanish person.
Right,
you know,
they
get
somebody a job.
For one, press English. Yes. You're like, whoa, they took our jobs. Like, but yeah,
what is this gobbledygoblet that you speaking on here? Speak American. Why right. They go and hire somebody to tell me to speak? That they were speaking Spanish.
An 8-year-old transgender boy was kicked out of a club, the Cub Scouts, after a parent complained.
What?
I thought the Boy Scouts and stuff were supposed to be like more inclusive. Is that just like are they like the NAACP where like a local chapter would be like, we cool with it, and then the national chapter is like, what y'all talking about? We don't talk to y'all. An 8-year-old transgender boy has been a member of the Cub Scout Pack 87 in Secaucus, New Jersey for over a month without any incidents. He's been out to his family, friends, and classmates for over a year and accepted widely by his peers. Joe is being kicked out of his scout pack because he is transgender, not by his Cub Scout, but by the parents who complain. Parents ruining children since forever. Not one of the kids said, you don't belong here. His mom, Christy Maldonado, said to USA Today. Then some parents complained, and the mother got a call from an official at the Northern New Jersey Council of Boy Scouts. Joe has been kicked out of the scout pack because he's transgender. The elementary school student was stoic when he found out. Here's the thing. You know, if Joe were allowed to join the Girl Scouts, they have a problem with that too, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe was walking around, you know, however Joe dresses and presents as a male, those parents would be like, well, you can't be around our girls. What are you gonna do to them? You know,
right.
Meanwhile, how 8? They're not even thinking about sex or anything at 8. At 8, you're just friends. Everybody's friends. Okay. At 8, fucking people, man. The elementary school student was stoic when he found out. It made me mad, he said. I had a sad face, but I wasn't crying. I'm way more angry than sad. My identity as a boy. If I was them, I would let every person in the world go. It's the right thing to do. The Boy Scouts of America decided to finally end its ban on openly gay scouts in 2013. Then 2 years later, the organization also lifted the ban on scouts over the age of 18, which also applied to adult leaders and employees in the organization. But it's unclear if there's actually a policy that applies to transgender members.
Wow.
I need y'all to pass a specific law, okay? Also, when we gonna get to sapiosexuals, some of y'all kids be a little too much into reading. I just don't trust it. I don't trust it. Not around my child. My child is stupid and needs to stay such. But it's unclear if there's actually a positive charge of transgender members. Boy Scouts of America Communication Director Ellie DeLamarcos said the organization considers membership for transgender children to be a separate issue from that of gay children. You know, I understand and respect the idea that trans is different from gay. I respect that. Why is the policy not one of inclusion? That's what I don't understand. Okay, yes, you're right. That issue, not all issues are the same. But if you're going to be progressive on the one issue, why are you conservative on the other? What's the logic? No youth may be removed from any of our programs on the basis of his or her sexual orientation, she said. Then she added, gender identity isn't related to sexual orientation. Just fucking stupid. What a terrible world. What a terrible world we have. I don't even know what to tell. Oh, trans folks are scrambling to get IDs before Trump is sworn in. Yeah, because, you know, everybody in his cabinet is homophobic and transphobic. And, you probably do have to scramble. Same way people scrambling to get the motherfucking Obamacare statuses, they scrambling to get this shit too.
And the same way people also on the low, they scrambling to get passports too.
Yeah,
but they was like, shit, he might revoke it. They people are renewing their
people in this country,
visa,
yeah,
cars, they renewing like all the shit that, nah, let me go ahead and renew it, because if I don't renew it, I fuck around and lose it and get shit back home or some shit.
Every time I see shit like this, I just can't help but think about all the, they both the same people. And when I said that, you think that, and you being able to think that, and you just putting that out there, is a fact that you have some level of privilege. The fact that you don't see how starkly different the world can be under a person like Trump. And people didn't like that I said that. I don't give a fuck. You don't have to like me. It's the truth. Like, you either live in some place where you feel protected, like, you know, oh, well, I live in New York City, I live in California, I live in, you know, where, I live in Oregon or whatever, wherever you think you're gonna be protected. Like, you either live there so you can have the luxury of feeling there's no fucking difference. But in North Carolina, we felt the difference.
Come on.
We've seen the difference, dog. It's a big ass difference. You know, we've seen what GOP leadership can do, the underhanded tactics that they do in the middle of the night.
Come on.
We've seen the effect on our citizens.
Meeting, shutting you out, not allowing you to vote, not bringing it to the public. Nobody know what the fuck is happening until that shit hit the news and there's fucking protesters outside.
And now it's happening to the complacent ass country. That's what's happening. You know what I mean? Now it's, they're just doing the same shit they did here, but to everybody. And yeah, man, I get a little bit mad when I think about all the, like, not, you ain't getting my support type motherfuckers, you know, that let, you know, they, you mad about Russia, quote unquote, hacking the election when they really didn't have to do shit. All they had to do was justify your hatred for Hillary Clinton already. That's all they had to do. Like, people fell right in line with that shit. Stupid ass Americans.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of dumbasses, really. We deserve this shit. We really deserve.
Yes, we do.
What we about to get, man.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
really do. Like, as a country.
As a whole.
Not individual people, but as a country, so many people just moved out the way for this shit to happen. And it's about to go down. It's about to go down.
It really is.
Amber Rose is in the news for saying that she wouldn't feel comfortable dating a man who has had sex with other men. She would not date a bisexual man because she feels like they would cheat on her. Now, this is kind of interesting. You know, she's 33 years old, and she's kind of pushed herself out there as like a spokesperson on sex. I think she's actually on like $1 million tour or some shit. I forget how much money, but a lot of money to go and talk about this. She wants to be an advocate for sex positivity. She says, I think it's amazing when a guy's bisexual and he's comfortable with it, but in my personal life, in my sex life, in love, when I choose you, I just think that I would think about it too much. Now, she's been cheated on by the straight man she dated, so I don't know why she sees bisexual men as more of a risk than the people that have already done her dirty. But she recently confirmed her romance with Dancing with the Stars pro Val Chmerkovsky. I don't know how you pronounce that. Chmerkovsky? Maybe that's how you pronounce it. She explained that she isn't being judgmental about bisexuals. Oh. Maybe I'm not secure enough to be with a man that likes other men because I would feel like that he's out with his boys. It's just more of a moment. I don't know. She said on our podcast. She got a podcast now? It's not that I'm not okay with it outside of my personal life, but when it comes to me and who I lay down with, I'm just not comfortable with it. As for her current romance, the BFF of Black China, former stripper and fiance Rob Kardashian said life with him has been amazing. So here's what I would say, man. Your personal preference is your personal preference. Your insecurities are your insecurities.
Yeah.
It's just weird to hold yourself out as a spokesperson on gender and sex positivity. I think she's a person that has dated a woman before, if I'm not mistaken. And it's kind of weird to put it out there on some like, well, he gonna just be out fucking these other dudes if I date a bisexual man, when it's kind of like, well, niggas is already cheating on you that wasn't bisexual, so what's the point? You know what I mean? But this is also the danger of like expressing that kind of preference in public, because if it's really your personal life, then it's personal. You know what I mean? Like, some shit you don't have to tell the world. You know, it's like, if a lot of times on someone's personal life, you can't really judge what the fuck they're going, like, if you just happen to notice your homeboy only dates Latina women, then that's just like a thing. But if he comes out and says, I would never date a black woman, that's totally different.
Yes, that
is. It's like, why are you volunteering this fucking, you know, like,
I didn't ask for this information.
Right. I may notice you are only dating thin women, or you're only seem to be attracted to thin women. You come out and be like, I don't fuck with fat women. All of a sudden it's like, yo, you just expressed that preference almost like as a cudgel to use against these women. So yeah, I can definitely see. And once again, it's plays right into the stereotype and that bisexual people deal with, which is that they will be cheating. It's one of the reasons that they're abused more in romantic relationships.
Yes, sir.
Because of this paranoia that their partners seem to have, which is that you can't hang out with nobody.
Right.
You fucking everybody. If you will fuck me, you will fuck anybody. You know what I mean?
What are you saying about yourself?
Yeah, so anyway. All right, let's try to get into some other news, guys. Karen, have you heard about the nigger Navy?
No.
Karen has not heard about the nigger Navy, y'all.
The nigger
Navy. Well, what happened was Yahoo Finance tweeted out.
I seen something about it, but I ain't paying no attention.
They tweeted out, Trump wants a much nigger Navy. Here's how much it'll cost. And I think they meant to say a much bigger Navy. But instead they typed much nigger Navy.
I guess they was right the first time.
Now here's what's interesting about this, right? On the one hand, people were like, oh, wow, how much you gotta say nigger on your phone for it autocorrects the bigger the nigger. And I was like, Yahoo social media manager is not sending this shit from their phone. Come on.
No. This is on a computer and they spotted spelled it correctly, so they didn't get the wavy line or whatever. So.
And if you look at your keyboard, the B and the N are like right next to each other at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, I mean, obviously it's a typo.
Right. Then when somebody reread, they skipped it. They shipped it up to somebody. But no. Back to you ain't had no editor.
Right.
So odds are you skimmed it real quick. You didn't have another set of eyes.
Even with an editor, you hit send on that tweet, and then they weren't able to change it for like 45 minutes.
Holy shit!
So it's just sitting up there.
I know, they was like, "Damn it, Twitter, y'all need to get a edit button."
I shared it and immediately took a screen cap.
Oh yeah, you knew that was coming down.
Which is funny because I put my screen cap on Facebook and said, "Well, you don't know if it's a typo because the president-elect is a bigot." And Facebook logged me out of every Facebook app I was on, and it sent me a letter when I logged in that was like, we took this down because this is against the community standards.
Fuck you, Facebook. Facebook, get on my goddamn nerves. You don't know what they're going to consider offensive and what they're not going to consider offensive. You get a racist ass page and you report on that shit, they go, yeah, we ain't paying that shit no attention, and no, we not going to take that bullshit down. But yet, you know, as much as and I think the thing that really frustrates me particularly is that you never see them going at white supremacists the way they go against black people. You know, black activists, they do this too. Black feminists, they do this too. You know, they purposely target you versus you let white supremacists say all kind. It take days and weeks and months and shit for them for something to get done.
Maybe they are doing this to white folks. I don't roll in those circles. So maybe this is a catch-all. Hey, somebody said nigger, we log them out of their thing and we warn them.
Okay.
But the fact that it's a catch-all is also the problem. Black people are allowed to say it, y'all not. You know what I mean? Your fucking algorithm sucks. Anyway, so of course people was tweeting about it. The Root collected some. The first one is mine. I took that screenshot from when Soulja Boy got rolled up on by them Crips in the hood. And I said, when at Yahoo Finance social media account intern logs in tomorrow morning.
Oh.
Somebody put the nigga Navy basic training. I don't know if you guys can see the video, but it's okay, cool. I'll play it then. But it's one of those like Soul Cycle classes with the black instructor.
Oh, I want to know that.
So yeah, that was dope.
Yes, Black Cycle Class.
This is apparently Confucius. USS, what you ain't gonna do. # nigga Navy.
Oh, I got a picture of a Timberland boot.
Somebody, well, that was the Timberland boot. That's a different tweet, but it said the SS dead ass. let's see. Cuba Gooding had it hard. Deep sea diving in the nigga Navy.
Oh.
Then they had the black sailors being sworn in. It said raindrop drop top North Korea gonna get pop.
Yes!
Donald Trump, we're going to war with ISIS. Nigga Navy, nah nigga, you going to war with ISIS. That's from Corey. I had LeBron Melo way to Chris Paul gave Trump the idea for the nigga Navy when they went on that that vacation. So three carry-on items said # nigga Navy Seal, and it's just a picture of Seal, the singer. The Navy Seal. Someone had the picture from last week of the Giants wide receivers on the boat with the Tims and the jeans
with no shirts on,
and it said, is this the nigga Navy that Trump wants? oh this is mine. I said Trump Navy gonna be lit as fuck though, and I took a picture of Rick Ross's yacht party.
All white.
Unforgettable Fire, who's been on the show for, said U.S. battle rap ship, nigga Navy. Chill Gillespie says Lieutenant Popeyes. if the nigga Navy ain't like JUGK's big pimping video, that's a no for me, dog. That was, Michelle C. Clark. I said, are we not just riding waves of the ocean, but the waves in our hair? # nigga Navy. Now, I don't know where they got this picture of these sailors from, but these niggas look wild. One of them, like, licking the camera and shit. A white guy knew, this by Aisha who wrote this and collected these. This white guy knew who was up though, and he had a picture of a baby looking out a screen door or window. It said, me and the white community reading these Yahoo Finance tweets, but not able to get to retweet or participate in the jokes.
Just staring.
Yeah. It was a lot of like white people just looking out the window feats. And Yahoo said, we deleted an earlier tweet due to a spelling error. We apologize for the mistake. Someone said, it's safe to say that niggership has sailed. I know another someone else has said I can't remember what they said, but it was like another play on words where it was like well, don't worry, there's nigger fish to fry or something, like, you know, just something like that. Someone put the Jordan logo and the Yahoo Finance logo together. The crying Jordan.
Oh, look at this, that's for Yahoo Finance with that hat.
Yeah, and he got the hat on, the sailor hat on. Someone took my avatar and put the sailor hat on my avatar. Now that's my avatar on Twitter. I'm trying to find all my tweets. Hold on. The USS Good Times.
Oh, that's going to be number one of the ships.
Mm-hmm. I said, we definitely won't be going to no cold locales to start in wars.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the nigga Navy going to put the bill for wars in the Coast Guard's name. I said, if there was a nigga Navy, that Army Navy football game would be one side of this fuck, though. I took a picture of some black Navy personnel, military personnel, and they were like giving a speech, but then I changed it to a one for the trouble, two for the base. It's the nigga Navy and we're running the place. You gonna rock it for the girls and boys. Somebody say ahoy.
What the hell is wrong with you?
And I took a picture of three black Navy people looking at a boat and I said, yeah, so first I'm gonna put some 20s on that bitch, then the sub's gonna go in the back, and then I'm tinting the portholes.
Oh no.
There was a picture of some black gunners on the ship and I just put, nuck if you buck, boy, nuck if you buck. Yeah, we nucking, bucking, and we ready to fight.
You know what? And I could imagine the nigga Navy, like, whenever they go to war, the people be there, and all they would hear was this music coming out of nowhere. They were like, we ready. We like, what the fuck is that coming from 200 yards away?
There was so many, there was so many good ones. Somebody, like, I can't remember everybody who said them, but, like, somebody was like, nigga Navy gonna run out of gas cause they gonna be riding on E. Talking about, I know my ship.
We gonna make it there with these fumes. are they gonna pull up to the, where they get refilled? Talking about, I got five on it.
Right.
Five, bitch.
They said, there was like, somebody was like, yeah, if Trump gonna be like, we going to war, is nigga Navy gonna be like, you got some we going to war money? I said, when a white sailor shows up and wants to say it too, and it's just a bunch of angry looking black people that are in the Navy looking at the camera. I said, I have a picture of some black people in the Navy and they all like sitting around playing a guitar and some white people in the Navy that has a band. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when the nigga Navy plays Kendrick Lamar's All Right and the white Navy decides to cover it.
Yeah, that ain't gonna go down well.
Mm. I said, you had to replace the ship cafeteria with Red Lobster. There was a picture of a black dude on the ship and he was like refueling a plane. And I put that picture up and I said, they asked me to pilot. And I was like, why I need a plane when I'm already so fly, you dig? Yeah. So now I'm on fuel duty. No.
That's exactly how you get on fuel duty, my friend.
Yeah, I pictured two black soldiers talking to each other. It was like, what's going on, my sailor? Just swimming and winning, my sailor. Hashtag nigga name. There was one of this black woman that was a captain, Captain D.H. Rainey, ANC. And I said, and she's looked like she's working and somebody just walked in and took her picture and she's not smiling at all. And I was like, hello, my beautiful African queen sister. I was wondering if I could take lead to go to the NBA All-Star weekend this year.
Mm-mm.
And then just no, nigga Navy.
Mm-mm.
Then I realized, wait, we have a nigga Navy movie. Antoine Fisher.
Yeah.
So I went and looked up all the pictures from Antoine Fisher. And I saw one had Denzel in Antoine Fisher face where he was talking shit to him. And I was like, now when you see me cutting hearts, what are you supposed to do? Play a heart. Play a heart. That's right. Damn it. Then there's another one where he was talking to him. I said, you're underbidden, son. I said I had three in a possible. You got seven books by yourself. Hashtag nigga name.
That will make you mad.
Another one of Denzel when he had his glasses on and it was like, who made this potato salad? Mary. And it was yellow. It was white. Yeah, that's a no, dog.
That's a no.
the one with Denzel fussing at him and I put, who keeps slamming the screen door on the navigation deck? one where Denzel was laughing and I put, you know, I was almost your daddy, sailor. And then lastly, I put, when you trying to dodge the nigga Navy draft, and I took the picture from the transracial dude on Atlanta.
He said he's a white man.
Oh, there were so many good ones. There were so many good ones, though. It was like, people put pictures of like when, like ships were capsizing when they were turned on the side, and they'd be like people coming through leaning on the ship. Black people come out here leaning.
they gonna roll up to the enemy with a lean.
Oh man. They had one where the ship crashed into the dock, and it was like where you on the ship and you hear Cash Money taking over for the 99-2000. Oh man. You had to be there, man. I'm trying to give y'all the magic, but it's not the same. But you had to be up that night because everybody was going in. Shout out to all the, you know, y'all, my other niggas that be like, I don't even say the N-word. I'm not retweeting any of these. 5 minutes later, retweet. God, I love black people. We can make anything funny. That's right. We can. You might not say nigga, but you love the way we use it. I just feel bad for Van Jones having to pretend not to get it.
I think that's the truth.
Mm-mm. And other sad nigga news. Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj broke up.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They finally called it quits, I guess. Wait, am I frozen in chat? My thing is froze.
Let me see. Are you moving? Wait a minute. I see your thing moving, but I don't see you moving no more.
Okay. Okay, I just saw you moving.
Yeah,
I guess
moving.
It's a delay on my side. All right, I'm gonna refresh. Let me refresh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you, but you're
okay.
Not moving.
Let me refresh. It's cool. Sound like Spreecast is fucking up. just give it a second here. But yeah, they broke up. Meek Mill and Nicki Minaj. Finally, I guess.
She ain't got to hear him yelling at her in real life.
But if a nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy, you understand? Don't do it.
Cut me off.
Don't cut me off.
Hey.
Don't do it.
I feel like that's how Meek Mill was feeling. But yeah, she cut him off.
Could be off.
Yeah. which, you know, hey, everybody, he was with her for what, a year, 2 years?
Yeah. Is that why, on Twitter, that explains this. On Twitter, it was a picture of Beyonce looking at Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. It was going up and down my timeline, and it was like, Beyonce. And then it was like, Nicki, yes, queen. And it was like, Beyonce, drop him, girl. Okay. I was like, now that picture makes sense.
I guess she was feeling herself. I think I should be about to pop back into the chat. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I have to show everybody this, right? He went on Instagram and put his first post up since the breakup.
Oh, we about to do some Instagram news. Meanwhile, on Instagram, yippee-ki-yay, you know the comments gonna be lit, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Nick and Reggie.
Let me see. Okay, here it is. So he put his first picture up, and listen, I saw this right before we went on the air.
Uh-oh.
I can't lie, I was no good. Like, it wasn't even the comments. It's the original picture.
Oh, okay.
Killed me. It's just him in his, what appears to be like a hotel or something. And it's empty, like there's nobody really in the background. He's by himself.
Oh, I've seen this picture.
And it says, it's lit. As the caption, he says, it's lit. And I'm like, I've never seen a more, my girl just broke up with me and I'm trying to tweet through it post in my life.
And people joke because he got like one hand in the top pocket of the jacket and the other hand in the pocket of the pants.
It's just, I've never seen such a sad, like, he looked like his girl just broke up with him. Like, it's just, I feel bad for Meek in a way, because of, you know, the way that it looks. It's just like, damn, nigga, why did you post this? You know how savage. Black Twitter is, you know?
Black Twitter, Black Instagram, wherever black folks is.
It's like a picture of sadness, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody said, this is the saddest thing I ever seen. Just that picture. Cause that's the other thing, it's an empty big ass hallway. Somebody put "is lit" and then they photoshopped him into that, that episode where Will Smith and they ended the Fresh Prince and he was sitting in the living room by himself. Looking sad. That's, they put him in that picture instead of Will Smith. My favorite part about that is that they didn't photo it exactly. So like Will Smith's foot still in the background. The crying Jordan face, it's lit.
just the crying, just the face, that's all, y'all.
Laugh my eyes off after she posts her "I'm single" tweet and you gotta hold it together, act like you good. Oh man, damn Meek. Like you could, I mean, I guess he was gonna catch it either way, but mm-hmm. It's lit and then the crying black dude from The Intervention.
That's my favorite cry. That's my cry, my best cry of all time.
Somebody said Meek look like he been crying all night.
Probably has.
Anyway, man, Black Twitter went in. It was delicious. Oh, feel so bad for Meek, but come on, that's hilarious. Burger King says it's gonna stop using antibiotic filled chicken, y'all.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been eating biotics the whole time?
Y'all been eating them antibiotics before now, but they about to stop. Y'all gonna be able to really get into this free range chicken life from Burger King. It does explain a lot.
You gonna charge me what more? They gonna go up 45 cents?
I hope so. I mean,
refresh, they say you roboting, baby.
Okay. Matter of fact, let me just go to the next session because mm-hmm. we're almost done.
Okay.
With the first session. So give me a second, guys. We'll be right back. That would explain a lot, though, because their chicken is terrible.
Oh, that chicken is nasty. Them
chicken don't come in sticks. Chicken fries?
Yeah, chicken ain't, no, chicken is not fries.
Right. No,
that's, chicken is chicken. It's just all that chicken is terrible to me.
Yeah, it's just offensive. All right.
Nasty ass shit.
When he called the audience to the session, okay.
And be going to do a special. That's why that'd be 2 for $10 or 4 for $20 or some shit like that. You be like, ain't nobody eating this bullshit?
Yeah, so, like Burger King is just low on the list of fast food anyway. Yeah,
if I go.
So any change they making, I think is a good change.
Change them fries. Them fries is nasty. Nobody told them to change them crusty-ass, crumbly-ass french fries. I don't know what's on them fries. Them fries was terrible.
Yeah, they fries are terrible. The chicken fries are terrible. Huh?
I don't think I really enjoy is the Whopper.
Right, I agree. It's the one hit they got. They look like Carmelo Anthony of food, you know?
Yeah, they do breakfast and everything. I don't need to do them for breakfast.
But, well, anyway, they switching over to non-antibiotic-laden chickens. So all that chicken products from chicken fries and their original chicken sandwich will be using a cleaner kind of chicken from now on.
Hmm. So you ain't going ass cheap? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Skeptics believe that the policy only applies to a limited amount of antibiotics, and there's still a wide variety of drugs that can be used in the chicken. So I don't know. I just hope it tastes better, guys. I don't know.
I doubt it. I'm good.
Nope. Cam's not even going to try it, guys. There you guys go.
Them chicken fries was nasty.
For the first time ever, people with food stamps, they can buy food online.
Good. Should have been a policy.
Yep.
Good, because so judgmental. I don't know why the fuck. People are so judgmental over food stamps. And now, since you don't have the big dollars, you could actually do like debit, credit.
They got cards, yeah, EBT cards.
So a lot of it took a lot of shaming and judgments that people had.
And people want to judge and be and shame them. Right. Like they're addicted to that shit.
Right. When you don't know why these people are on it, you don't know what situations they're in, you don't know their circumstances, you're just judging.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that judgment, truthfully be told, and even from black people, you just think you better than. When truth be told, more white people use food stamps than any other segment of our population, sweetie.
Yeah. Well, you guys will be able to use it for fresh, healthy food now if you're on food stamps. That's good. Right. They're accepting SNAP. And it's like Amazon, Fresh Direct, Safeway, ShopRite, HB, Hearts Local Grocers, and Dash Market. So it's not just, you know, nobody's. Amazon's big, you know. Amazon, I think they're only doing it in Maryland, New Jersey, and New York to start, but good.
Good, because A, you get that shit shipped directly to you, so you eliminates all the fucking judgment behind it. You get to do it kind of in your privacy. You can kind of go shopping and you don't feel rushed and you don't feel judged and shit like that. I'm 100% here for it. It's convenient, very, very convenient, because you know what, a lot of times, let's just keep this real, a lot of times people that are on food stamps, depending on situations, may not have the transportation to get back and forth to the store. They have to take the bus. I mean it's a lot of inconveniences with that situation, or you have to call a friend. It's just something attached to it. So this is more convenient for them. That way you can order it, have it sent to your house. You don't have to go out of your way. You don't have to try to go before work or after work. Like, it's the convenience.
And many people on government assistance already have one to two jobs in the first place.
Come on, dog.
So, you know, it's all to the good, man.
And my thing, it's good for the services. They
and you live in food deserts sometimes.
And I think I read an article on it. That's what Amazon was saying. Because people live in these areas where you don't have an option of fresh food. Mm-hmm. So when you do go to the grocery store, it's nothing there but snack and junk and all that shit. And they'll take it, but it's not actually not any fresh fruits and vegetables for you. That's why if anybody does come around and anybody does sell them, they almost immediately sell out of it. Or if you have places that actually do sell the shit, it's not fresh, it's almost spoiled, it's not the best, because they know there's no one else around it. So they kind of give seconds and kind of give like the hand-me-down or stuff that they basically couldn't sell in the grocery store and try to sell to you. This kind of eliminates that process.
Yep. Food stamps in North Carolina will soon require 20 hours of work or classes in North Carolina. Because, of course, food stamp recipients in North Carolina soon will lose benefits unless they prove they're working, volunteering, or taking classes for at least 20 hours a week. That federal requirement, which applies to adults under 50 who don't have children, was suspended in 2008 as the recession hit and unemployment rates rose. But the exemption ended January 1st for 23 mostly urban counties in the state, including Wake, Durham, and Mecklenburg. You know, the places where the black people are. While the 77 other counties are seeing a slower economic recovery and could continue federal exemption, the state legislature acted last year to restore the work and education requirements statewide starting July 1st. That's my favorite part, is seeking to injure black and brown people in the areas we live. The state is going to lift that July 1st, and then it'll be a bunch of people who lost factory jobs and shit that don't have jobs to give 20 hours a week to, that are now going to not have food. That will be mostly white people. It's fucking stupid, idiots. You idiots. Because coal's coming back, I guess. I don't know.
It's not. It is not coming back. It's not. So if I'm under the age of 50 and I do not have kids,
yeah.
I don't have any kids and I'm under 50. So if something was to happen to me, I would either have to be a student or be working. What happens if you can't find a job? You just don't get the benefits?
Right.
I need to prove that I'm working, but if I can't get hired, that just means not. So not only do I not have a job, I can't eat either now.
You have to document work, volunteer, or education activities, or lose your food stamp privileges. Recipients can still get up to 3 months of benefits without meeting the requirement, but then after that, you're on your own. County social service departments are scrambling to make sure recipients know about the requirements and have opportunities to meet them, and some are creating their own volunteer camp programs, which, if you think about it, if you're creating your own volunteer program, it's almost like you're conscripting these people into labor, free labor, for you.
Come on, you just right? Had them in there.
20 hours a week?
Like, just have them in there doing office shit that y'all don't got time to do. Free manpower.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Sounds fucked up to me.
Right.
Not to mention, I doubt it'll even have as much of an impact as people think, because at the same time, a lot of these people are working already. There's always this assumption that it's really... it goes back to racial shit with every, I hate them. Oh, you make everything about race. I hate to do it, but it's the truth. It goes back to this assumption that the kind of people that are on these programs are black, and that black people are somehow lazyabouts and just fucking sit around all day waiting for the government to send a check in, because that's what white people think about us.
Come on.
Because they can't be racially superior unless they think that about us. Meanwhile, you know, they represent the vast majority of people that are on food stamps because and government assistance because of the population of this country and the way it's broken up.
Right.
Meanwhile, the average person on these programs is not the stereotype that you have, so you end up spending all this money on these programs and it doesn't actually benefit anybody. It's, hey, we're gonna drug test everybody. It costs more money to drug test people than to just give them the fucking benefits they earn, because you're not gonna catch anybody.
Right, and then the percentage is so fucking low that it's not worth it, and they've done this over and over again, and every time you turn around, a new state fucking pump that particular law up. You're like, why are you wasting my taxpayers' money on this bullshit?
Right, so shit is ridiculous. All right, let's see. Let's go to some fucking with black people, I guess. I mean,
I'm
alright,
fuck with.
You alright, fuck with? Let me see what's on here if we need to do this. I mean, we have to do some, I guess. I don't know. You know what? Let's skip it. Fuck it. I don't feel like being fucked with. I guess we can go into
100 with the state of North Carolina.
Yeah, we can either do white people news or we can do Ball Alert. We could wait to do Ball Alert tomorrow. We have the guys from Medium Popcorn on.
Let's do that tomorrow with them. That'll be fun.
Cool. Let me find some white people news real quick.
Yeah, Ball Alert tomorrow, y'all.
And we'll get into it. Let's see, what are white people into today? What about my white people list at? Give me a second, guys. This one. No, white people aren't in that. Oh, they're into this for sure.
Oh yeah.
We definitely didn't do this.
First things first, I'm the realest. Realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it. Feel it. And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
If you want a bad bitch like this, huh? Drop it low and pick it up just like this. Yeah. Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. High heels, something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase that. Never stop like we bring an 88 back. What? Bring the hook scene where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that.
And it was that moment that Tiny realized it was time to divorce T.I. The queen was almost shot by one of her own guards after she took a 3 a.m. stroll through Buckingham Palace grounds.
The queen of England?
Yeah, not Beyonce. The queen of the earth. The queen of the galaxy, but the queen of England. The queen was almost shot by one of her own guards while she took a late night stroll through the palace grounds. The guard is said to have shouted into the darkness when he spotted a figure walking around Buckingham Palace at 3 a.m, believing it might be an intruder. But the shadowy suspect was in fact Her Majesty, who had stepped out for some fresh air because she couldn't sleep. The guard confessed to Her Majesty he had nearly fired his weapon, to which she quipped, "Next time I'll ring through beforehand so you don't have to shoot me." Yesterday, the queen performed her first royal engagement since falling ill with the heavy cold that forced her to miss services festive season. Yeah, she went to church today, I think.
Oh, so next time she ring a bell through the hallway, let them know she's moving around?
I think ring probably means give a phone call.
Oh, okay.
Over there. The queen presented a trusted member of staff with an honor as she continues to recuperate in Sandringham. The monarch invested Ray Wheaton, the queen's page of the chambers, with the insignia of the lieutenant of the Royal Victorian Order, according to the court circular. The LVO, which is the Queen's personal gift and is bestowed independently of 10 Downing Street, recognizes service to the royal family and household. The monarch, who missed church on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, is said that to be up and about and dealing with her red boxes of official papers. Boy, I swear I don't know what the fuck. Like, our queen at least be out here, you know, performing and singing and going around the globe and being a businesswoman. Like, they queen just be like, I'm signing paperwork. And you're like, that's a thing you do?
I'm Nike.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here is an insignia.
Yeah, the top story is her sons dating these women. I think one of them just had his second child and the other one dating a brown girl and people lost their fucking mind.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of white people news, there's a white family that made big news this last week, I think, when a dresser fell onto their child. They have two twins. The dresser fell onto their child. It was all captured during a on a camera that they claim is a security camera, and then the father went and shared it on Facebook. But people think it's a scam, because apparently the dad works for the company that makes the home monitor that filmed the incident. The Herculean strength of a toddler who saved his brother when he got trapped under a toppled dresser swept the internet earlier this week, but some skeptics have cast doubt over the astonishing feat, which was caught on the boy's nanny cam, claiming it was all too conveniently set up. Empty dresser drawers. Yeah, it was empty. So maybe that has something to do it. The absence of adult, the fact the camera was pointed squarely on a piece of furniture, have prompted critics to label it a stunt. Cause the camera wasn't like pointed at a crib or something where the kids would be, or a bed. It was pointed, you know.
Okay. Yeah, cause you're a baby monitor. So a lot of times you're monitoring children and young toddlers.
Mm-hmm. Neither Brock or Bowdy Schaff, the twin toddlers, were harmed when the dresser fell on them as they play in their Utah home. So here's the video of it. I'll see if I can play it. There's no audio to it. But that's, can you see it on your side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not moving yet, but yes.
Oh, okay. Hold on. See if I can make it bigger. Sorry, my computer's moving a little slow now.
Oh, no problem.
And I'll go back since you said it wasn't moving. There must be a delay in the chat or something because it's moving on my end. So
okay, it's bigger now. There you go, it's moving too.
All right, cool. So the kids try to get in the drawers and it just falls on them, and one of the kids, it falls like directly on top. Yeah. So then the other kid is trying to save his brother and he's like walking around, you know, trying to figure something out. And they are right about the it is weird the way that they have the camera position where it's looking at this dresser as opposed to these two beds, where like the one bed's over there but there's another bed off in the corner. So then the kid like looks around, tries a bunch of different stuff.
And are the parents anywhere nearby?
They assume, they say they were in the house, but they didn't hear it, I guess.
Yeah, that big ass, that's a huge ass drawer, not to make no noise.
Yeah. And then finally the 2-year-old just pushes it off of him, and the other one crawls from underneath, and apparently neither child was injured, anything like that. So it was all the buzz in white people's world.
So the baby didn't cry, holler, they didn't hear a scream, nothing?
Apparently they said not, and baby wasn't injured or unconscious or anything. Then like the parents like went on like Good Morning America type shit, you know. You know, meanwhile people are like, it's probably a scam because you sell the fucking camera that caught this on it, and it just looks, you know, people are really skeptical. He said he ran to the boy's room. It's ironic that it actually worked at my house when we caught something like that. Full of praise for his son. He added, he's pretty tough, he's a strong kid, but we think there was a little bit of extra help in there. Mrs. Shaw said she ran to the boy's room when she looked at her phone, which had a live feed of their nanny cam up, to see the dresser had fallen down.
I run downstairs, sling open the door. I had heard nothing. I just opened the door. They were quietly playing in the room in the corner. We went back and looked at the video because they records all the movement and pulled it up and watched it, and we already knew they were okay. My heart dropped, as you can imagine. I'm like, how did this happen? So I'm watching it for like a minute and a half, watching it unfold, and then Bowdy does what he did, and I was like, shrugs. We couldn't believe it. We thought he would be hurt. Mrs. Shaw says, while there has been some negativity towards the videos, the majority of the comments were in their favor. Uploading the video to his Facebook page, Mr. Shaw said, I've been a little hesitant to post this, but I feel it's not only to bring awareness, but it is also incredible. We're so grateful for the bond between these twin brothers share. We know Bowdy was not alone in moving the dresser off of Brock, and feel blessed that he is okay. Oh, I guess he's implying like God helped. Please make sure all the dressers are bolted and secured to the wall. Please share. I don't know, man. What you think, Karen? Is it a COE conspiracy? Are they lying or are they telling the truth?
Yeah, why wouldn't there no clothes in them drawers?
Right? In the kids' room, just an empty dresser.
They constantly play on empty drawers all the time.
The one nigga that sells the cameras caught it.
I mean, you ain't seen no baby drawers, no onesies. You ain't seen nothing in them drawers. No bibs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Adele and her partner Simon Konecki are said to be planning a UK wedding after secretly becoming engaged in October.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And Dale, as they say on What's the Tea, done had a man all this time. Mm-hmm. She recently sparked speculation.
She's private, though. That's one thing about her. She real private, honey. And she over there like, y'all motherfuckers will not be taking a picture of my goddamn child.
She recently sparked speculation that she and her partner, Simon Konecki, had married after she was spotted with a gold ring on her wedding finger. However, new reports claim the singer Adele, has simply become engaged to her partner of 5 years and is now planning a ceremony in the UK. According to the Sunday People, the 28-year-old secretly agreed to wed her beau back in October. He's 42. And while they were keen to marry this Christmas, their plans fell through. The paper reports that the pair wanted to tie the knot this month, but it was too short notice for their respective families to get over to the States, where the couple are currently residing. As it was such short notice, people already had plans. Adele and Simon are very family oriented and wanted their closest to be to them there on that special day, so they decided to postpone getting married. But it's very much still on the horizon, and they think it could happen in the UK when they return in March. So, I don't know. Good luck, Adele. Mm-hmm. You know, lay it down. Rumor has it your ass out here married. Okay.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's what rumor has it. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Macy's has announced they're closing 68 stores and laying off 10,000 employees.
That expensive, overpriced shit. Yes, that makes sense.
White people, I'm sorry.
That shit is overpriced.
I know, but this is where white people go, Karen. You're being very insensitive to the white people and white people news. This is hard to take for them.
I'm sorry.
This is like if Neiman Marcus closed for us.
I don't know that Neiman Marcus either.
Black people love saying Neiman Marcus wrong.
Neiman Marcus is high too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're closing 68 stores. 10,000 jobs will be lost. Macy's Inc. pointed out to change in consumer behavior and said its performance reflects the challenges that are facing much of the retail industry.
Y'all don't adjust well online. That's what that is. When stores like this shut down, they do not adjust well online. Like, you know, online is where your sales are, and you know, there's nothing wrong with brick and mortar, because sometimes, you know, I like to go to a brick and mortar, but you know, consumers like, why would I pay $900 or $100 for this when I can get it online for a fraction of the price?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I feel like that's fucked up, because Amazon is basically gloating. They have an online game and they close all these stores, and then Amazon like, now we're gonna open up brick and mortar stores. Like, they touchdown dancing on people. It's real fucked up. If you think about it.
Yeah.
As for them, I mean, I feel bad for, you know, that's a lot of stuff. I mean,
it is my job.
They could keep those stores and keep saving people's jobs if they just, you know, cut out on that motherfucking parade, but they won't do that, will they? Mm-mm. got to have your parade, don't you, Macy's?
Spend that $1 billion, however much they spend on that Thanksgiving Day parade and Christmas parade and New Year's parade. I think they do all three. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. They said the 68 store closure as part of 100 closings. It announced in August of the 68, 3 will close by the middle of 2016. 63 will close in spring and 2 will close by the middle of 2017. Some may be offered positions at nearby stores, but Macy estimates that 3,900 employees will be affected by the closures. They also plan to restructure parts of the business and sell some properties. This will lead to a reduction of 600 jobs. The 6,200 jobs. The moves are estimated to save $550 million annually. Well, I guess the parade gonna be lit this year, saving this money. These jobs represent about 7% of the workforce. They expect to earn to make money though, on their stock share. So we'll see. But sorry, white folks. I know that's y'all shit.
Mm-hmm. And I think some other stores are closing down too.
Really?
Uh-huh. That Gap.
The Gap is closing some stores.
Yeah, 175 stores.
Mm.
It's closing for the Gap. And there's another mall chain that's closing down too.
Mm.
Yeah, because mall shit is high.
That's true. Sophie Turner, who you guys may know from Game of Thrones as Sansa. She proudly posts the first picture of her boyfriend, Joe Jonas, on her Instagram page.
Hey, meanwhile on Instagram.
The 20-year-old actress and the former Jonas musician first made their... Well, isn't he still a Jonas... Oh, former Jonas Brothers musician. First made their relationship known when they spent Thanksgiving together in November and have now made things official on the picture sharing website after the fiery haired beauty posted a picture of Joe on her account this week. She took a picture of him when he was on the back of a boat, and she's not even in the picture. So that's how you know they go together.
That's how you know.
Yeah, when you take a picture of your man or whatever, you be like bae or whatever, and you post it on your Instagram and not his, I mean,
yeah,
I mean, y'all go together. Nobody does that, but people that go together. The picture shows a 27-year-old singer smoking whilst on a boat, simply captioned Miami Days. D-A-Z-E.
Oh, shit now.
Mm-hmm. So, she debuted that relationship, you know. The news comes after the DNCE frontman was said to be falling head over heels for the Game of Thrones star because she has her own money and isn't using him to get free dates.
Duh.
Really? That's all it takes? I always feel like that's such an insult to women to be like, I love you because you don't need no money. And like, what, bitch?
Yeah.
I thought I was just a cool person. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, if a woman says that, it's insulting.
Yeah. I love you because you don't need nothing from me. The news came, the source said Joe is smitten because Sophie has her own money. He loves her because she won't let him pay for her all the time, which is so rare in girls he meets. She insists on paying her own way for flights when he asks her to come see him and offers to pay. Plus, he thinks she's so smart and sexy. Yeah, well, you know, also, he sound like he just used to dating a certain type of Instagram model. Okay,
come on, he got to fly out.
You seen the airplanes in the bio? You paying for these tickets or not, nigga? I'm not getting them myself. Despite having only been together for a short period of time, the Cake by the Ocean hitmaker, that's the whitest title of a song I've ever heard in my life. Cake by the Ocean, what could that even be about?
I have no idea. I'm pretty sure it ain't about bakery.
Yeah, he already believes the beauty is something special.
I know you do.
Yeah, so good for y'all guys. Okay, you guys are gonna produce the perfect Aryan babies if you guys stay together.
Right, if you stay together,
Hitler would be proud is what I'm saying.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. They're gonna create the white prototype. Mm-mm. That's what we need in America to bring us all together. Shout out to my man Lee Daniels. White people need a confidence boost. Am I right, guys?
Mm-mm. They got all the confidence in the world.
All right. Let's get into some Guess the Race, guys. Where's my Guess the Race music? I'm going to go all the way back to the top. But, yeah, let's get into some Guess the Race. That's enough white people bullshit for the day. Waff that.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, the chat room and Karen play in their races. All right. Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for people with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT and get yo free on. They give you a free first month. Okay, this is a company that was like Nas invested in, and Nas is Denzel's favorite rapper. I mean, I feel like, you know, the world is out. Denzel is a lot of people's favorite actor. I mean, a lot of stuff is coming together for Bevel. Also, it's a new year. Get yourself started off without that irritation. You know, make this your New Year's resolution to shave every day or a few times a week. Keep your face less irritated. Get those bumps off your face. You know, stop shaving with the white man's razor. Okay, I'll never go back. Okay, I don't care. This is it for me. I'm free. I'm out of jail. I broke up. So yeah, getbevel.com/TBGWT. All right, let's get into this sizzle. A North Carolina pastor has been charged with 9 counts of robbery.
Oh.
To which, you know, Shirley Chisholm and Kim Burrell said, well, at least he ain't gay. You know what I'm saying? Lord. Could be worse, right? Am I right, guys? Thou shalt not steal. A Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, no. Not us.
I never heard this story.
Mm-mm-mm. He has been charged with breaking the 10 commandments, at least one of them.
At least one of them 9 times.
He was arrested Wednesday in connection with a number of armed robberies on local businesses. Armed? Oh, I thought he was just robbing the community like every other pastor by selling them fake myths and fairy tales.
Taxes and shit. Just shifting money from account to account.
Yeah, I thought you was just saying you was going to the building fund, but it was really building you a Mercedes.
Right, that's what I thought. I didn't know you was putting out the gack.
John Thomas Lindsay, 47, a pastor at True Love Church of Refuge, was charged with 9 counts of robbery with a dangerous weapon, 9 counts of conspiracy to commit robbery with a dangerous weapon, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Damn, he was a felon already. He was, I guess he could say the Lord saved him or something, maybe. I don't know. Lindsay allegedly robbed
18 counts, dog. Hmm? That's 18 counts. Right. 20 counts. Somewhere around in there.
Lindsay allegedly robbed 2 7-Eleven stores, a Family Dollar store, a Circle K, and 2 Sam's Mart.
Hey, what was you doing going around the block?
You weren't aiming very high, were you?
Mm-mm.
The Family Dollar, 7-Eleven, Circle K, and Sam's Mart. Like, were you trying to get $40?
What was that, the Dollar Tree?
Yeah, you robbed all them for $12.37?
General Dollar was next on the list.
Now I can finally put $5 in my tank. He's suspected of having fired a shot inside a Family Dollar store in October. Surveillance footage in the store show a person resembling Lindsay engaged in the robberies. Sources told WSOC that drugs are suspected to be the motive of the crime. Amid the local media fallout of the crime, the True Love Church of Refuge released a statement saying, "We, the leadership of the membership of True Love Church of Refuge, are deeply saddened and disappointed with our leader and brother, John Thomas Lindsay, and facing charges associated with criminal activity. Though we denounce any involvement he may have had, we love him and will continue to pray for him. The ministry will continue to stand strong despite the latest allegations and will continue to preach the gospel of the kingdom, as long as he ain't gay." Police zeroed in on Lindsay after being led to him by a 24-year-old man named Fernando Carrillo Hernandez, who was arrested Tuesday and charged with 3 counts of robbery with a dangerous weapon and 3 counts of conspiracy to commit robbery with a dangerous weapon.
Oh!
Carrillo.
He got charged with his own set of crimes.
This other person?
Yes.
That's how they get you to snitch. Carrillo Hernandez, who does not appear to be connected to True Love Church or a Refuge, is allegedly responsible for robberies at Circle Curry locations. He also has a rap sheet that includes 2 drug-related convictions. Guess the race of Mr. Pastor, John Thomas Lindsay.
Black.
Karen's going with Blizzy.
Blizzard, Blizzard, Black. Let's check the chat room. He white. See what happened when he don't tie three names white. White black pastors are white collar when it comes to stealing this way and working too hard. Black man robbed them with this, wait, hold on. Black man robbed them with this here Bible, homie. You gonna call this a robber? Ellen James White. crying because they called him white boy. God knows my heart, black. Steals from the collection plate, black. Black. Steal no money in the building fund, and they already forgave him, black. I'm gonna go with white because reasons. Couldn't find a Macy's white, black. Alright. Let's see everybody. Okay, the correct answer is, and Karen, you were right. He's white. He's black. Some of you guys did get it wrong, though. Karen, what was your clue?
The name of the church. I pay that close attention.
That's smart. That's how you get them.
Yeah, when you
true love Church of Refuge.
Come on, you don't follow. You're not AME's nine when he gave it away, because that's normally black. But you know, I pay stuff like that. Methodist, I'd have been more leaning towards white. But not when you call it Episcopal around the corner Baptist lamb down church. You black.
That's his picture in the chat. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh yeah, he very black.
Yeah, he's a black man. So yep, they caught him slipping. he was in there trying to spread the gospel.
Yeah, it's very rarely that you see a white church that don't follow the traditional names.
Yeah, they probably knew who it was just by this, like, pastor, you know. They could tell by the way he was robbing them. He just came in and he was like, now listen, I'm gonna need all the money in the safe. I'm not just talking about ones. I'm not just talking about fives. I'm not just talking about the tens, but I'm gonna need the 20s and all the change. Can I get an amen?
What, sir? You have a gun in my face. No, you
will
not get amen.
Can I get a sack of cash? Can I? Let me hear all the cashiers say amen in here.
He grabbed the mic. You know the mic they talk across the
right. Yeah.
System. Yeah.
You know the Bible say leadeth a man not unto temptation.
Everybody look around the store. What the fuck?
Right. I think the pastor robbed us, dog. I'm pretty sure that was him.
Ain't that the pastor?
It's not me. This is mysterious ways happening right now. There's a lot of things in that book. All right. Some 9-year-olds were robbed at a lemonade stand.
Oh, shit. You can't sell lemonade no more?
Beyonce can. I mean, I think it's copyright infringement, really. They was either gonna catch it in the streets, or they was gonna catch it in the courtroom. Okay.
Can't tell you.
Lemonade is off limits these days, guys. But yeah, 2 9-year-old children. Damn, 9 got robbed at a lemonade stand. Didn't even catch that the first time I read it. Yeah.
What they pull up and do a drive by on lemonade stand? What the fuck is happening here? Run me your quarters, fool.
What if it was by the pastor? It could have been by the pastor.
It could have been. Or you know what happened? You got savvy kids. They be like, run me your sir, we don't take credit card here.
Right.
You know, because people,
sir, do you have Square? Do you have Square on your phone?
That's the only one I can give it to you, sir, through Square. Yeah.
We take installments as well.
Yeah.
You can open up a line of credit at the lemonade stand.
Yeah, we debit a credit on. We don't do cash because mama told me I might get robbed.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can play.
I give you my iPhone. That's all I can give you, sir.
Right. It doesn't seem like I want to play. All right, I'll just read it. They've been arrested for robbing 2 9-year-old children at a lemonade stand, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff Department that killed children with self. Oh wait,
a day after being robbed,
he cut the lemon.
9-year-old Lucas is at it again.
Hey, you know what? I need some more lemons. I need some more sugar. And I'm like, did you already go through? Oh yeah, we're making money. And I'm like, oh, like, yeah, we made $3. We made $7. We made $10. And it was really cool because, like I said, the important thing is all the kids. Like, there was a group of kids, and they were all doing it together.
But yesterday, two people confronted Lucas and his friends, a 16-year-old girl and 19-year-old Deontay Small.
For us to go get a bigger cup because they didn't like the cups that we had.
Lucas admits he threw water at the two teens when he says they got pushy.
I spilled water on him because they just kept on making us, budging us to go get it.
And that's when he told deputies they pushed him for real and then stole his iPod and the money they'd made selling lemonade. Lucas's mother gets emotional just thinking about it.
It's innocent. They're just sitting there with a box, you know, magic markers, construction paper that they were in.
Jacqueline Jolly was horrified someone would take money right out of a kid's hands. She called 911 when she learned the iPod was stolen as well. Turns out Small, a student at Freedom High School, lives nearby, and police caught him quickly. Despite the robbery, Lucas and his neighborhood friends are trying again. His mom encouraged it.
I told him the best way to deal with that is face your fear.
All right, guys, guess the race. Deontay Small, the robber of these 9-year-old kids.
Let me, what the fuck? In horror.
Black.
Hold on. I'm gonna say it again.
Black.
Karen's going with black for Deontay Small. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Let's see. Deontay Small, come on, but it black as fuck. Sorry, I'm not sorry. Black, says Miss Kameen. Where was Ice-T when them Negroes showed up? It's Ice-T. Black, mad the kids weren't selling Kool-Aid and sweet tea black. Black, Miss Atlanta bumped in black. This lemonade ain't even got sugar in it. Yo, run yo shit, little boy. Black. The correct answer is black. Did anyone even guess anything else? Mm-mm. I feel like everybody went black on that one.
That name.
Because his name was Deontay Small. You know, I can't be mad at y'all.
I don't know no white Deontays. Every night they fool me. Y'all fool me, white folks. But,
yeah, he was black. Gotta be. It's pretty low, robbing children. Notes. Like, what? How much? $7? $10? Like, I wonder how much he's gonna come up.
It was all in quick cent piece of money.
Right. Is it showing up in the chat yet?
Yeah.
Wait, I see why, because the share button is broken. Try that again. More, it's not working. Okay, now it says sharing. I don't see it. Yeah, it's still not showing up.
Mm-mm.
All right, hold on, let me stop sharing and try to do it again. Rolling up on them kids, can't believe. Maybe. In our country,
right, them po babies.
You come down a notch and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation. It's ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
Yeah, that ridiculous is the best part. Ridiculous. But yeah, we should be ashamed of ourselves that we got people robbing 9-year-olds.
It's up now.
Okay. So that's him. Robbing them 9-year-olds. Maybe he was doing it for the money for a haircut.
Something might have been happening. I think their whole plan was to rob the children all alone. That's why they was trying to send them off. That little boy was like, I'm not leaving my money here.
The lemonade heist. Motherfucker did Ocean's Lemonade.
Oh, yeah, he did!
Alright, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2, y'all.
Woo-hoo!
So I don't know what's going on. Your guess is as good as mine. But
I know what's happening.
Let's see if she tanks it.
I wouldn't put it past me.
Mm-hmm. A low rent Lothario who believed some female Walmart shoppers wanted to be noticed allegedly shot his semen at them through a syringe.
What's a low rent Lothario? Is that
a piece of shit?
Okay.
According to cops, Timothy Blake, 28, of West Virginia, confessed to following the shoppers, then squirting his semen at them. Yeah, girl, you want a little bit of this semen?
No, thank
Looking
you.
Looking so good today.
Yeah.
Squirt a little bit of this semen on you.
I didn't ask for that.
Investigators believe the semen shooter struck at least a dozen times over a 2-month period.
What is he doing just walking around with extra semen?
I know.
What are you jacking off, sir?
It's disgusting to me, too. I can't believe it. Oh, man.
Cold globby shit just hitting you. Ah. Oh.
They probably never saw him coming.
I guess he said, was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yep. Sounds like he was having some balls.
I guess you say easy come, easy go.
But seriously, this crime is very detestable. I know. It's funny too. Clearly this guy was nuts.
I guess they didn't see that man coming.
I said that already. That was the first one.
That's right.
Can't have it. Can't take mine.
Can't take your joke.
Not playing it for you. What's wrong with you? You guys watched it live. Can Carlos Mencia me?
Oh, yes, I did.
Blake allegedly told cops he believed one victim was displaying exhibitionist characteristics and wanted to be noticed.
What?
Mm-hmm. I guess that was his sperms of endearment. All right. I'm sorry. So then the criminal complaint says detectives asked Blake whether the sperm spraying was like a sexual encounter, and he told them maybe it was his way of having sex with these women, and that was what he thought of when committing these acts. So it made him feel sexually excited. We just had sex. I swear there's some sperm on you. Skip the middle step of having sex. The criminal complaint says that, according to the smoking gun, Blake told detectives that he would masturbate in his vehicle, then ejaculate into the syringe. Oftentimes, he would repeat the act in the Walmart bathroom before striking the unwitting woman. In November, a Walmart shopper called the cops and said that a creepy man was shadowing her in the makeup aisle. See, men can be so disgusting. And when the man passed, she felt something wet on her foot and lower back. Jesus Christ. The substance was sticky. Oh, that means she touched it. Then December 28th, another woman said substance had been thrown on her or sprayed on her buttocks in Marietta. Oh, and on store surveillance video, the cops realized it was the same man. He's charged with accounts of multiple counts of felony obscenity. Guess the race of Timothy Blake, sermon shooter.
White.
Semen shooter, I mean. Sermon shooter. That's what the pastor was, the sermon shooter. This dude's a semen shooter. Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room. See what you guys believe. Come on, white. Yeah, it's quite the sticky kind. Two first names, White. Walmart booty call White. Go back where you came from, White. White, just like his semen. If he was Black, sorry, the sun is on my camera, on my screen. If he was Black, store employees would have been following him around.
He wouldn't be able to get away with it.
That is some terrible, there's some great racism and analysis there. And let's see, what was the last one?
I got several.
Definitely White, creepy. Creepy. Well, just take this nut, White. White man with either pinpoint aim or small cock. What the word? Yeah, how do you get in this? How is he like coming in a funnel? How do you even get it into the syringe?
You got to have a funnel or something.
Oh, very small penis. I don't know how you get. Just the logistics. But maybe he came in a condom, and you know what? I'm thinking about this too much. I don't care. I actually do not care how he was doing it. White, nasty White. All right, so everybody's going with White, and the correct answer is he was White. No, the worst part is probably telling people he fucked these women since he thinks this is sex.
True.
I had sex with that girl.
And, yeah, my racism like that 911 call operator.
Yeah, you been on it.
Yeah. She was like, White?
White male?
Yeah, she was like, White
male? I didn't say that. Well, if you don't have a premium, you guys don't know that joke, but Karen, we played a 911 call for when Jamal Anderson pulled his dick out of the gas station and the operator assumed he was a white man.
And she was like, oh, again. She was detested. She just knew that man was white.
Yeah. She was disgusted. All right, guys. So that's his picture of the semen bandit.
Oh, he very white.
It's a semen copycat crime, actually. A lot of people, I think a lot of people have tried this one before. All right. Let's move on from this guy to the next segment, which of course is Sword of Ratchetness. Let me get my sword music. There we go. I can't believe he did that crime not in private but out in the pubic. Sorry guys, I couldn't help myself. Like, he couldn't help himself, I guess, so it's all rational.
Yep.
Think he did in the cereal owl. This is a cereal masturbator.
Yep.
Hopefully they can erect some new laws to catch them. All right. That was the last one, I promise. That was it. College football is full of strange traditions that date back many, many years and are held dear by an adored fan base. The LSU Tigers keep a live tiger on campus. Florida State has a man riding horseback planting a spear at midfield. The USC Trojans pay podiatry bills. At today's Rose Bowl game, the USC Trojans and Penn State Nittany Lions and the Pasadena football fans almost got way more than they bargained for. While trying to hype the crowd, the Tommy Trojan sword, they throw it into the ground passionately. This time, he nearly impaled his foot in the process. it didn't stab him in the foot, but this is why you don't play with swords, guys. And why does the mascot have a real fucking sword?
Come on.
It's not like you're a real Trojan. Get this motherfucker like a fake sword. So stupid. Almost cut your foot out trying to impress some people. I tell you, you motherfuckers and these swords. Oh, I did forget. You know what? We should have did fucking with black people, because I did have something I want to talk about.
Right now.
Yeah. Sorry to bring this up so late in the program. And it's somewhat of a, I guess you can make the argument that it's kind of a small infraction, but it's kind of big to me because of the way people have been talking about it. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Hawks GM. Hey, black man, don't defend this dude. Don't do it. He's a white guy, and he was giving a talk to, I think it was like, his name's Wes Wilcox. He's married to a black woman. He has three black kids, you know, or mixed race kids, however you prefer it. But apparently, he's the beneficiary of the team having to get rid of some other brass because of some insensitive racial shit in the past. One of them was Danny Ferry, I think, and he was talking about Luau Deng and making some jokes about Africans and saying Luau Deng is like an African that'll rip you off in a store or something like that. Then another, the owner, one of the part owner, Bruce Levinson, he said some shit about black fans and how they didn't really want them or something. And, you know, he volunteered that by himself and ended up like, I think it was trying to sell the team or something, but still, you know, this came in the wake of the Donald Sterling incident where he got recorded in a private conversation with a black woman, and was saying racist shit, right? So now Wilcox, apparently attempted to make a joke at a recent meeting with fans, where at least two black attendees found the joke to be inappropriate. The joke in question came during the December 7th Chalk Talk event with a crowd of more than 200 season ticket holders, and team members had the chance to ask him a variety of topics related to the Hawks' on-court product. Season ticket holder Clarington Crawford, by his account, made his displeasure with coach Mike Budenholzer known. He offered to renew for two more seasons if the organization hired Mark Jackson instead. Another fan spoke about the need for a veteran point guard, and at one point a member asked Wilcox why the Hawks' best players were playing fewer minutes than they were at the start of the year. According to Crawford and another source who was present, Wilcox, who was white, tried to defuse the tension with a joke. I know you guys may be angry with me, but I'm used to it because I have a black wife and three mixed kids, so I'm used to people being angry and argumentative. Yeah, that's a no, dog. You can't say that. And there's a variety of reasons. Like, one, people tried to throw the like, well, if he was black, would it be okay? No, it's still fucked up. You know, black women are tired of motherfuckers using the angry black woman stereotype and trope to demean them. You know, and it's not about his wife being cool with it, because he would have made a nigger joke and been like, but my wife lets me say it, we'd all be like, man, fuck him. That's not okay. And for people that think it's too sensitive and it's fucked up, a lot of times it's because we haven't had that stereotype leveled at us. The angry black man stereotype isn't nearly as harmful or prevalent as the angry black woman stereotype, especially in relationships. Like the idea of a black woman is not, you know, to be wanted because, of course, she's angry. And there's so many black women that live their day-to-day life trying so hard to not fit this stereotype that in many cases they actually become, like, they do themselves harm.
Yeah, you do. Don't speak up. I know I have that problem. I don't speak up for myself. I've gotten better as I've gotten older, but there's been a lot of incidents when I was younger where I wouldn't speak up. I wouldn't show my emotions because you didn't want me to show this anger. But once you get to a certain point, I can't speak for them. I'm like, nah, fuck that. I'm angry. I have the right to feel angry. There's nothing I'm doing wrong. I'm being provoked, and motherfucker, you gonna deal today. But I hadn't always been like that.
Right. And then there's like the obvious overt, issue of you're throwing your wife under the bus. And all black women under the bus, as if, well, marrying, dating a black woman means you deal with an angry woman all the time.
Come on.
And it was black women. Like, it wasn't just his wife. And, when I saw black men kind of trying to eschew this shit, I was like, no, we don't get to do that. Mm-mm. Cause let's switch one word. Let's switch the word out angry and switch in the word lazy. Lazy is a stereotype that applies to all black people. It's not one that's only hurt women. Lazy is one that's hurt women, men, children, everybody that's black. You, like, we all hate when people say that shit. We know it's bullshit and we know it's a harmful stereotype that's been spread. We would all be mad if he said lazy. The fact that he said angry, we can compartmentalize it to black women, which means we all get to say, oh, you're being too sensitive. And we also get to, since we view sports as a man's realm, it's almost like women should be an afterthought. So if it's something that offends women, fuck them, right? Cause they obviously don't buy season tickets or attend games, or they're not their mothers and wives and shit of these players. They're not people really. You know, like, what are they even doing paying attention to this shit? This is our time. This is God's corner. Another thing I noticed, this is what happens when you don't respect comedy as well. You ain't a comedian, dog.
Come on.
You a GM. You wouldn't let like fucking, you wouldn't let Bill Burr be the GM of the fucking Hawks for a day, cause you'd be like, oh, this is motherfucking crazy, you're a comedian, do your job. You shouldn't be trying to do comedy in your fucking corporate meeting because, of hack shit like this not going over well, and then you're talking around everybody's too sensitive and you're the only one. Everybody's wrong, but you right. Also, just cause you married to black people, that shit don't give you no pass on racism. It means nothing. You know, like, whatever y'all private jokes and discussions are, those are private. If you and your wife have the "my wife is angry and mean" thing, and y'all, that's like a, and black women by proxy are all angry and mean, and your wife thinks that's funny and lets you get away with it in the privacy of your own home, keep it there. Because if you really knew black folks, you know you can't take that shit outside your home and think, oh, he's so funny, he's so right. We are angry, like all the sisters are looking at each other like, we do be tripping over nothing, y'all. Fuck you, man. You know what I mean? So it was just, and it was really the defense of it that pissed me off, because I don't really, him fucking up is kind of, I'm used to white folks fucking up. That happens.
Right.
Whether they be, I mean, that, whether you be there or not, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing I was thinking about, right? I thought of this morning. For the black men that dismissed it, where were you at on the Phil Jackson posse comment?
Come on.
Phil Jackson got proximity to blackness. He's had black players and friends his whole life. I didn't see all that plea copping for Phil. It was very much understood. And he didn't say nigger or anything. It was understood. It was implied. The idea that these businessmen surrounding LeBron James would be referred to as a posse. We understood the disrespect intended towards all black people. We didn't just go towards those five, or maybe they cool with it. We understood, like, oh, no. That's a thing you say about black business people that you wouldn't say about white business people. Well, this is a thing you say about a black woman specifically, that you would not say about another race of woman when it comes to this. Oh, you know how it is dealing with these angry women. Like, no, you said that ain't a black woman, which infers she should be angry when she gets home. And if you think that that's being too sensitive and making shit up, then you need to wake the fuck up. Cause it ain't even that fucking complex. It should be reflex. And you know what's funny? If he would have said some fucked up shit like, well, I'm used to dealing with lazy players. I mean, I got a black wife and three black sons. You know who else would be mad? Like, it wouldn't just be black men. Black women would be mad too. They'd be like, that's a fucking racist stereotype. You shouldn't be saying that shit about black people. But when it's something targeted towards black women, everybody got a fucking nuanced hemming and hawing and oohs and ahs and everything. But, oh yeah, that's fucked up. I don't give a fuck if he gets fired. I really don't. Like, he's like, people trying to make his black family into hostages and shit. I really wouldn't care. Nothing's gonna happen to him. Cause at the end of the day, you defending his ass, and he's a white man at the end of the day. He don't need defending. Nothing bad's gonna happen to him for saying this shit. That's typical white people shit. But in a league that's taking a stance against racism and things of this nature, you can't just pull the plug when it comes to black women as well. Like, you can't be like, well, that's different. They women. But that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Some dude argued me up and down yesterday on Twitter, just trying to avoid the very obvious, like, hey, well, you know, it's different. I mean, I don't know his wife. She may be cool with it. Right. You don't know his wife. You don't know her. She wasn't up there speaking. We don't know her. What I do know is he was speaking to everybody, all the public, the people he wants to buy tickets. And he basically decided, I'm going to throw black women under the bus in this moment. Because isn't that funny? Fuck that, man. It's fucked up. You know, you want to make jokes about your black wife being mean, you got to start a podcast the way I did and put it behind a paywall with Justin. Okay? If you really want to, you know what
I
mean?
You want to make jokes about black women?
Start a comedy podcast and then suddenly ask for help over the years and hope somebody hears your cries. Okay? It's the only way. But nah, seriously, that dude was fucked up. And apparently he apologized, but I heard the apology was pretty whack.
Yeah, half-ass. That's doing how it is. Most people don't know how to apologize. And also, it's one of the things where I feel about the NFL and the NBA when it comes to women. You want our money because you take shit and you specifically target us. Men ain't buying earrings. Men ain't buying necklaces. Straight men ain't buying bracelets. You know, they're not buying women cut shirts, not buying women cut jerseys. They're not buying jersey dresses. Men are not buying this shit. They're not buying women purses. They're not buying that shit. Women are. So that means that women's asses attend the game, love the team, want to participate in shit. We're there. You want our money, but you don't want our voices. You don't really give a fuck about us, and it shows. And that's the shit that's got them infuriating, particularly being a woman that actually enjoys both of these sports.
Right. You know what else I'm wondering? I'm tired of, in this case, a white dude, Zach Klein on Twitter, tired of white people chiming in when they think something's not racist. Hey, he's not a racist, guys. I know. He has a black wife and kids.
So I guess
if I got black friends, I mean, I guess it's impossible, right? Right. If anything, that should have told him to know better, to not take that shit outside his house, you know? But, yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous, man. Like I said, I heard he apologized. I haven't actually read it or played it for myself yet. I'll look and probably do it on Balls Deep. But, yeah, man, if you're a black dude, don't jump in front of that bullet for this dude. You sound fucking ridiculous.
Right, and the thing is, when shit happens and women actually need men to jump in front of bullets for shit like this, y'all ain't there. And that's the thing, you're defending him versus coming and be like, you're wrong.
Now, when Amy Schumer said black men be street harassing or something like on Twitter, she was like, well, we all know what street harassers look like. You know, like on some like it's black men shit. Black women jumped in her shit too. Like it wasn't just, you know, when Lena Dunham said that shit about OBJ and people had to go at her about, you know, this idea of treating black men like they should be some type of fucking sexual predator or something. Same thing. It wasn't no ooh odd nuance. What about this? Or well, you know, sometimes black men, it was unequivocally like, mind your motherfucking business and stop. Keep black people name out your mouth. It's only when this kind of shit happens that all of a sudden black men jump up like, well, hold up now. We don't want to judge the man too quick. Okay, ladies, like, man, you sound fucked up. You sound hypocritical. That's all. All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow with the guys from Medium Popcorn. Can't wait to talk to them because I think it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.